Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.
Lee, it's one of the most obscure documents around 9/11, and I don't know why. Great piece in Tablet this morning, what Muhammad Atta was trying to tell us. A full 5 years before the 9/11 attack, the key 9/11 attacker, Muhammad Atta, April 1996, sat in his small Hamburg, Germany apartment, writing out his last will and testament. He was 27, an architecture student at Technical University, the son of an affluent Cairo lawyer, fluent in German and living comfortably in one of the most affluent societies on Earth. Nothing in his circumstance compelled him to dwell on death. He was educated, again, affluent, and already planning his martyrdom.
Sure sounds like he was a member of the oppressed, right?
Not at all, actually.
Yeah.
He even gave detailed instructions for the handling of his corpse. He did not want any woman to go to his grave at all or be at his funeral or on any occasion thereafter. He wanted to be wrapped in three white pieces of unadorned cloth, laid on his right side facing Mecca, and buried next to good Muslims. I wanted to make sure he was not buried in any place where infidels lied. After all, he was planning to kill them. Why? That's what Allah prescribed. He was very clear about that. His money was to be divided according to the Muslim religion, as Almighty God has asked us to do. Tablet continues, there was no political program, no mention of foreign policy or economic grievances in the document. There was only a young Muslim man in a German apartment arranging to sacrifice his life to Allah in the confidence that Allah would reward his martyrdom in the life to come. The document is among the most neglected pieces of evidence from 9/11 because it contradicts the explanations of the attack that most Western commentators preferred. Atta was not poor. He was not radicalized by drone strikes that had not yet happened, nor by American support for Israel. He never mentioned Israel. He was not in any formal or organizational sense an Islamist. Rather, he was just an uncompromising Muslim. Yet for 25 years, Western elites repeatedly insisted that men like Atta must have been driven by something other than the culture and the faith that provided him with the lens through which his actions seemed to him both sensible and necessary. After 9/11, intellectuals, still going on today, after 9/11, intellectuals and policymakers ask, what went wrong? As though the source of Atta's animus toward the West was shrouded in some deep mystery. It wasn't. It was shrouded in his religion. You can see that from his writings. What followed is a 25-year campaign, Lee, of Western elites insisting that men like Muhammad Atta were driven by something other than their culture and their faith. American leaders then added a second layer of denial. President George W. Bush stood at the Islamic Center of Washington to insist that the face of terror is not the true faith of Islam. Following Bush's lead, and after later atrocities in Paris, Brussels, Manchester, and elsewhere, Western leaders repeatedly said that the killers had nothing to do with Islam. That's where we are. You know, what's interesting, Lee, is to do this historically, because these last 25 years were not the first time we did this. Deliberately misunderstood. It's just in the past, Lee, we learned faster.
Mm-hmm.
Love this article, Jihad in the Days of Jefferson.
Yeah.
So for all of you who like to say, well, you know, our founding fathers, they were isolationists and they never... Really? Go read about the Barbary Pirates.
Yeah.
Victory in Tripoli. That's not in the continental United States.
But it's in the Marines hymn there.
Yeah. And it talks about, I love this part. Okay, it's May 1786. And, our merchants are being kidnapped, sold as slaves, ransom demanded for them. And this is the interesting part. May 1786, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, then both diplomats in Europe, met with Tripoli's ambassador to London. And they were trying to understand, why did the North Africans attack ships of a country, America, that had done nothing to provoke such hostility? The two asked. And they listed, going all the way back to the Crusades, other, you know, countries, nations that had conflicted with Muslims and with people of those areas, and said, look, we've never attacked you. Why won't you leave us alone? Why are you doing this? The response was unnerving. As Adams and Jefferson later reported to the Continental Congress, the ambassador said the raids were a jihad against infidels. Just flat out told him.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we're the Office Ladies.
We're still talking about all the hilarious behind-the-scenes details from The Office with icons from the show like Rainn Wilson, Greg Daniels, Melora Hardin, and so many more.
And we can't forget our two conversations with Office Ladies superfan Billie Eilish.
Hello. So join us for brand new episodes every Wednesday.
And revisit The Office Rewatch every Monday.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Muslim privateers felt it was, quote, their duty to make war upon non-Muslims wherever they could be found and to make slaves of all they could as prisoners, and that every Muslim should be slain in battle because then he was sure to go to paradise. It was further explained that if you came into contact with infidels, essentially, Lee, that it would be a sin to let them pass. The Americans now had two choices: pay tribute or fight the pirates. And we know how that is.
Yeah.
We fought. And that's that line, you know, from the shores of Tripoli.
Yeah.
The Barbary states at the time, they comprised what is now modern day North Africa, a key voter replacement recruiting ground for the Biden administration, if you listen to the last hour, where they were sneaking them in the back door. But this is the history of America. It is the actual history of America. We may wish it isn't, and it wasn't, but it is. And so Adams and Jefferson came back and reported to the Continental Congress that, look, this is jihad. It's not going to stop. And they made the decision not to pay the ransom.
Which was the right call at that time, and still would be today.
Yeah. So, fast forward to today, as we're still doing it, we still don't understand. Yeah. We refuse to understand. And we have, potentially, this fall, we have now gotten to the point where not one, but two candidates, one for Senate, who's a Democrat, and one for the House, are either directly funded by known terror organizations or those who run them, or worked for them. We have Adam Hamawi, who has won his Democrat primary in New Jersey. He worked for the Benevolent Society of, in Bosnia, a designated terror group of the U.S. Treasury and the U.N. Worked there. And when he wasn't doing that, he was driving the blind sheikh around. During the period, by the way, he was planning the first attack on the World Trade Center. Killed six, by the way, including a pregnant woman. He was a character witness for the blind sheikh at his trial. Tried to save him, but didn't work out. He's blind sheikh still in prison. He drove him as his personal driver throughout the Middle East and also throughout the United States of America. And he will probably be sworn into the next Congress as a member of Congress.
It's not the enemy at the gate. It's the enemy in the gate.
Yeah.
Through
and
the gate.
And then you have El Sayed, who I have a tweet out about him. Now, when you look at who his sponsors are, now, a lot of money for his campaign is being funneled in by his mother and his father-in-law, both of whom worked or work for designated terror organizations. These are terror funding organizations. They provided funding for Hamas and Al-Qaeda. He's just run for Congress, like, no big deal. Go be in the Senate. I don't even know how you give these people security clearances. I don't know what they're doing on our soil. Jefferson would have slapped us across the face and said, well, what are you doing? And we just can't see it. We can't. And I don't know what it is about Western culture, but it's, oh, well, you know, we'll look inward and see what we, you know, in some cases, it's not us. Wish we could change it. Can't. So that's where we are. And meanwhile, we still have John Thune refusing to end funding for the Taliban in the Senate. I mean, so it's not just on the Democrat side, to be fair. It's on the Republican side, too. And God bless her, Nancy Mace, along with Tim Pritchett, several other Republicans, have twice passed a bill that has passed the House, blocked in the Senate, stuck in committee to end the roughly $40 million a month that we still give the Taliban to keep them in power. For reasons I don't know. I don't, no idea. Someone should ask John Thune. By the way, he denied knowing about it, but then was forced to admit that he is funding the Taliban and said he's not going to take the bills up. So don't know why. We love the Taliban now, I guess. But it's a good day to remind folks that around 2,500 U.S. service members died in Afghanistan. We pay the enemy now for some reason.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.